Lots of geopolitical concerns these days, from North Korea to Syria to Russia. It's the focus of our thought leader conversation this morning. This week's thought leader is Don Lloyd. He's the Senior Vice President, Manager of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, and Commodity Derivatives. And he is with us this morning. Don, welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Steve, good morning. Good to be back.
Good to see you. I thought about you a couple of times over the last week when I saw the images of the aircraft carriers steaming towards wherever it was they were steaming towards. Every morning, it seems, in the business headlines, I've been mentioning geopolitical risks. How bad is it?
It's always fun to see the USS Ronald Reagan out there in the U.S. flexing their muscles internationally. I sort of fly the flag a little bit longer into the night under the spotlight when those days occur. I sort of like that. The 24-hour news cycle has been on fire. No question about that. There are things that are popping all over the globe, not just domestically, but internationally as well. Hottest thing off the press, UK, Theresa May calling a referendum for a vote. Looks like, again, you just have to admire the Brits on how they do this. You know, they Prime Minister, technically she can't call a vote. She could before 2011. She could just call an election whenever she wanted to. After 2011, she needs the House of Commons to sit there and propose a vote. So she basically said, let's have a vote, let's have an election, and then she'd go into the House of Commons, and the House of Commons pushed that through. So, but then they've got between now and June 8th to have all of their discussions, all of their debates. It's a limited expenditure, you know, and they're going to have it, get it over with, and move on with business. And what a refreshing way to, you know, watch a government operate at an international level. But again, that's just one example of the uncertainty that's out there, whether it's the USS Ronald Reagan steaming off, you know, in into the east, or the UK
South
elections,
or wherever it was,
or wherever it was. So lots of things that are popping on out there.
And immediately after the referendum vote was announced, the pound fell, but it recovered a little bit. Talk to us a little bit about the impact on the currency market.
Yeah, UK, again, front and center, the pound. If you look at the last 30 years in the foreign exchange markets, there have been 8 times where the British pound sterling has had 20 to 30% moves within 6 months. We're in one of those periods right now, I think. As we move into this election, as we move then into the whole Brexit discussion, the volatility of the British pound sterling is going to be pretty significant. Maybe back to the times of the late 1980s, where we haven't seen the volatility that we saw back then. The foreign exchange markets can become extremely volatile and very dangerous very quickly. There's a lot of people that are out there that haven't experienced those types of moves before, and I think we're moving quickly into one of those periods, which will be exciting for our markets. It's something to talk about. It's something to go out and speak to your client base about. Certainly, there's going to be risk mitigation there. But imagine that within 6 months, a 30% gain or loss.
Yeah.
It's only happened 8 times in the last 30 years, which is once every 3 or 4 years. But we're moving in that time again.
And it's good that we have your experience in this, because you have seen it before.
Yep.
What can you tell investors about this? I guess a better way to describe it is just this uneasiness. When you see what's happening, not only with Brexit in the UK, for instance, and now this referendum, that seems like a lot of uneasiness. What would you say to calm people?
Hedge. It is a risk that's out there. It is a risk that is easily forgotten, because most of the time people in Treasury or finance who are managing this risk, they've got 25 or 30 other things that they're doing. And when we're in periods of non-volatile markets, which we have been for some time, it's very easy for the attentiveness to these types of risks to sort of fall down into the low priority type categories. The problem with that is when volatility comes back, and comes back with a vengeance, people are unprepared. They're basically asleep at the wheel, and that's when the phone rings off the hook and they call me and they say, my gosh, what do we do? And we cannot put blood back into the body, but we can sit there and say, here's how you have to mitigate this risk. A disciplined hedging program is key to risk mitigation, just so that you don't have to worry about that corner of your business. And it's sort of the prioritizing that on a very low basis, that sort of catches people off guard.
Where would be a hedge? Where would those folks go? I know gold is where some people have been putting some of their money to be safe. Where would you suggest?
Oh, I'm just talking British pound sterling. If you have conversion needs and you have not locked into a rate today to be used at some point in the future, if you can sit here today and say, what are my British pound needs over the next 12 months, the next 18 months, the next 24 months? A lot of companies can estimate pretty closely what those are. And even if you're 60% right or 70% right, it's better than nothing. That's what I'm talking about, is to sit there and lock into those exchange rates today so that you know what exchange rate you're going to be using 6 months from now, 12 months from now. Other than that, you're at the complete mercy of the market. Maybe the rate goes your way. Maybe it doesn't. That's uncertainty. Okay, that's going to create havoc to your planning and to your budgetary process and erode your profitability margins or maybe even enhance them. The issue is that you don't know what it's going to be. Take that out of the equation. Make it known. Get back to producing what you actually produce and doing what your business is actually. It's not about speculating in the market. Mm-hmm. It's about making widgets. It's about selling things, selling goods and services. Focus on that.
The other part of this is North Korea and Russia and those two hotbeds of activity. The worst case scenario is obviously a war. That would be horrible for, I'm guessing, everybody, all from an investment standpoint. What would we see in that case?
Yeah. Again, the U.S. flexing its muscles out there, certainly a more aggressive stance than we've seen any time over the last 8 to 10 years. It's creating uncertainty out there. It's going to get money moving. The problem is where does the money move to? Because used to be, the markets will seek out places of low risk for some return. And the U.S. has always been beneficial to that. Problem is, domestically, we've got our own uncertainties going on here. I mean, if you take a look at the current administration and the campaign that they got elected on, you know, it was basically immigration reform, it was tax reform, it was health care reform, and it was regulatory revision. Those were really the four platforms that they got elected on. Well, healthcare reform went nowhere. They couldn't reach a consensus on that. Tax reform is gigantic. I mean, it's much bigger than healthcare reform. Nothing's going to be done in 2017. Regulatory revision, watch some policy leaders change seats in there. I think they can make a little bit of a headway there. But then you're rolling into 2018. And 2018, mid-year elections.
Another election.
And we're not the UK, which gets these things done in 25 days. We're the United States, where you spend $50 million and
years.
And the political commercials at TV go on and on forever. We're moving into that. That's going to create uncertainty. So where does the money go? Right now, you see these the flows are moving back into treasuries. And that's why you're seeing yields on treasury bonds come down or prices go up. You know, how is that happening when, you know, the Fed is talking about possibly 5 rate hikes over the next 2 years?
Yeah.
So you've got all this uncertainty around the globe. Right now, the money's looking just to be parked on the sideline for some safe haven stuff. I think it's going to be treasuries, could be gold. I still think the sleeper out there is going to be the Canadian economy. Canada tends to be has been isolated from this and insulated from this and managing their economy quite well over the last 10 years or so. You know, I think the Canadian dollar is going to benefit wholeheartedly from this.
Yeah. The other thing I saw this week was the president talking about the dollar. I said, I can't wait to talk to Don about that. Explain to us what he might be thinking or doing.
Well, yeah, I love presidents. You know, they have opinions, yeah. and some of them voice those opinions. We certainly have a president that likes to voice a lot of things, and this is not off limits by any means. The problem is that even though he wants a weaker dollar, he doesn't set policy. He doesn't do that. He can say whatever he wants. The Federal Reserve can influence exchange rates probably more than anyone else can here in the United States. And the Fed has always had, and I think continue to have, a non-intervention policy. They are not going to sit there and direct where the dollar goes against currencies. They let the market figure that out. The role of the Fed is to smooth out extreme fluctuations should they occur. So if volatility hits and the markets, you know, start swinging around in very unusual fashions, the Fed will come in with liquidity to sit there and smooth those out. Other than that, the Fed's not going to sit there and say the dollar should be stronger, the dollar should be weaker. Now, I can understand why the Trump administration wants it. You know, if the strong dollar weakens, which means that the purchasing power of our overseas counterparties becomes stronger. They can buy more goods with their euros and more goods with their yen. Hopefully, if their economies start to bubble out, they're going to be buying more of our goods. Our goods will become cheaper to them. I get that. I mean, I understand, you know, how that all fits together. But just because, you know, President Trump is saying he wants a weaker dollar doesn't mean anything like that's going to happen. Again, I put that in the category of what Vice President Pence was doing on the USS Ronald Reagan. A lot of verbal flexing of muscle, which doesn't really mean a whole heck of a lot other than verbal flexing of muscle.
I felt a little sorry for Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, because he had to come out and clean that up a little bit. And he must have a tough job.
Of course they do. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine, you know, trying to sit there and stay on point and online as opposed to this sort of zigzag pattern we've been seeing? Like I said, the 24-hour news cycle has been just on fire, you know, with a lot of things going on out there. But even domestically, if you look, you know, you take a look at the U.S. market and, you know, the beige book that came out, you know, earlier this month, you know, it's showing labor shortages. You're seeing wage increase, you know, wage pushes going on. Wage increases are going up. There is no question that the Fed is going to take and continue to take a tightening view when it comes to interest rates. When you compare that to Europe, you know, of the 25 or 30 countries that 6 months ago were in negative nominal and real rate environment, a third of those now are out of the negative rate environment. Soon it's going to be a half. Soon it's going to be no one's going to be in a negative rate environment over in Europe anymore. So what you're seeing is that the whole yield curves are starting to move up and they're all starting to shift up. And the U.S. is leading that. And as those interest rate differentials widen and narrow, because everything doesn't move together in nice orderly fashion, it's sort of like a train, you know, the locomotive goes first and then, you know, the caboose goes last. And, you know, it's like an accordion moving back and forth. Those are the flows that the market looks for. It looks for those differentials and those movements in differentials. And that's what sits there and has the money flowing into different parts of the country. So all of that's creating a lot of uncertainty. Watch for carry trades. Watch for treasuries to remain interest rates not to be spiking up as aggressively as a lot of people think that they should be. Because, again, the uncertainty in the world, you got to park your money in safe haven places. Comes back to the United States as far as I'm concerned.
Any other emerging markets that might be below the radar that have been drowned out by South Korea and Russia and things that should be on our radar?
You know, there's a lot of talk about that because if you take a look at our equity markets and equities around the world, the emerging markets equities have lagged behind the leading industrial countries the resurgence, especially in the United States, the resurgence in the equity market that we've seen. And there's this thought process that is, oh, my gosh, now's the time to invest in emerging markets. I sort of take a totally different view on that. You know, I think the emerging markets hasn't begun to move or caught up because the opportunity is just not there. You know, I don't see anything yet that gets me excited about the emerging markets. So, you know, I'd be very careful, at least I would with my own portfolio, to connect that dot of now's the time to buy in emerging markets. Might be wrong. Yeah. Like I said, I've missed many a ship that have sailed that I haven't been on, but very few that I've actually been on that have sunk. So,
yeah. I know I've seen Brazil in the headlines recently and other places. Is Brazil one of those emerging markets that you keep an eye on? And
yeah, but again, those emerging markets and sort of the chatter around that has sort of taken a very much back seat to what's going on when it comes to the UK election. The elections that are going on in France right now, the referendum over in Turkey that's occurring. And don't forget, we've got good old Greece. Greece is coming up in this summer to make some fairly hefty payments that they're not going to be able to make, you know, again, unless there's, you know, restructuring and bailout and whatnot. So you're going to have Greece come back into the forefront of things. And this whole issue is going to create more uncertainty in the European community. So, you know, we are in a period of what to do with my money. People are going to sit tight. I'm still really bullish the United States, as you know, but we're not going to see that pace that we saw since November election. Things are going to slow down. People are going to digest it. But again, if you look around the world, I still think the U.S. is the only game in town.
Go USA.
Yeah.
Don, good to see you again. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Steve.
Don Lloyd is the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets in charge of foreign exchange, rate, swaps, and commodity derivatives at Associated Bank. Remember, you can hear more of our thought leader conversations online. All you have to do is go to WGNradio.com to the opening bell page and click there to see our past conversations. And you can follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter.